Now we come to the third burden on this matter of the body, knowing the body, and that would be keeping the principles of the body and knowing the fellowship of the body. I think this will make a lot of what we've been speaking more experiential, more experienceable. Let's read one. The elders and the leading ones should take the lead to keep the principles of the body. So here again, we're talking about elders' training. How to take the lead? You take the lead by keeping these principles. A, I'd like you to actually also read these principles, these six principles. Okay, A, what is it?
The body is one.
It's right there as a principle, a glaring one. The body can exist and survive only in oneness. The oneness of the body is the oneness of the divine Trinity. And the keeping of the oneness is the primary virtue of the Christian walk. So the matter of oneness is touted here. It's is very, very much honored here. As we take the lead in the local churches, brothers, the first thing, Paul says what? That you may walk worthily of the calling, right? Isn't that Ephesians 4? You know, Ephesians can be divided into six chapters, three first and the second. And chapter 4 is the turning point. Chapter 4 is turning point. It talks about the living. The living. I think it's in the recovery version. And the first thing, you know, the first line, the first sentence, actually sets the tone. We need to walk worthily. Worthily. I, a prisoner of Christ. Am I right? We need to walk worthily of... I better pull that out.
The calling.
Where's my Bible? The calling, excuse me, Ephesians 4. Okay, here we go. I beseech you, therefore, I, the prisoner in the Lord, to walk worthily of the calling with which you were called. So the subject here is how we should walk. That means how we should conduct ourselves, how we should live as Christians, you know, in the church life. What is our what are our responsibilities in the church life, living this body life? And the first instruction, the first order is to keep the oneness. There's nothing more important than this. It's not even just to be compassionate or be faithful. All those are important things. The first thing is to keep the oneness. So endeavor to keep the oneness of the Spirit, or be diligent to keep the oneness of the Spirit in the uniting bond of peace. And here the word is, this keeping of the oneness is the primary virtue, the top virtue of our Christian walk. You go and ask any Christian, I don't think they will say this. They say the first thing is to glorify God, or the first thing is to love your fellow man, or the first thing is to give to the poor. I don't know whatever these things are. And these are all good things. According to Paul, in the context of the body life, the first virtue of our Christian walk is our keeping of the oneness. Without this oneness, the church life is over. The body life is gone. B, please read. The body of Christ is Christ. Thus, if we would be in the body, we must be made Christ. Now, don't think this is just spiritual talk. To me, this is extremely practical. So, let's say I see some vision here. I see how important the body is to God and to the Lord, and I want to live this in this body. I want to live the body life. What does that mean? What does that mean? I become more zealous just, or I become more, I do more. Maybe. No. If you see this, it says, since the body of Christ is Christ, we must be made Christ. This means, brothers, there's something real about living Christ. You know, this terminology, which is almost quite exclusively used by us in the recovery, to live Christ. That should no longer be a spiritual talk or just something in the books. Brothers, how do you be an elder? You know, be a good elder. You have to live Christ. It's not a spiritual talk. You have to live Christ. You have to be made Christ. This means we need to have to be with the Lord. We need to be filled with the Lord. We need to be one with the Lord. We have to even live Him. Very, very practical. The church as the body of Christ comes out of Christ and is one with Christ. That we should be clear. There's only one thing in a believer that forms a part of the body of Christ, Christ. Your life, my life, if it's not expressed in Christ, it has no place in the body life. It doesn't count. It's some kind of other kind of life or living. It's not part of the body. It doesn't belong there. The body is the corporate Christ. Christ and the church are one corporate Christ, the body Christ. In later years, Brother Lee did not talk so much in this way as he did in the late 70s and the early 80s. What? To live Christ. That was his almost mantra, I would use this word. We were just pickled with this term, living Christ. How much we did it is another matter, but we heard so much about it. For you brothers who want to really get some experiential help on this matter, right, Dexter? The book Perfecting Training, the first part, is a good place to go to. I mean, there's some chapter after chapter of some top speaking of how living Christ means everything to God. The problem with many of us leading brothers is that when it comes down to it, even we don't live Christ. We just live ourselves, our habit, our culture, our opinion, our disposition. We really do not live Christ. And so the church life where you are is also that way. Is also that way. Remember, the body of Christ is just Christ. And anything that is anti-Christ or non-Christ are foreign matters, doesn't belong in the body, no matter how good they appear, right? There's a lot of good hearts in the church life that end up damaging the church. There's a lot of natural relationship that becomes honey that ferments the wrong things in the church life. These are good things. These are humanly, you know, in the human realm, these are all good things, but they are not Christ, and so they damage the body life. See, let's read. The function of the body is to express Christ. You need to see this and not just say these are too spiritual, these are high talks. No, brothers. The function of the body, down all the way down to the local churches, is to express Christ. You know, there's a new year. The elders come together and pray for the new year. 2016, Lord, in our locality. We plan, we do various things. It's good. Even in Irvine, we always set apart a week for the brothers to do this. And for us, it will be 2 weeks from now, the last week of January. We'll spend a whole week, elders and the responsible ones, to plan for this new year of 2016. We do that all the time. But we can even plan, we can pray, we can do many things, which that's why we came together. But how often when we come together to, as we look forward to a new year, we evaluate things, we have some reassessment, and so on. How many of us will consider last year, how much did the church in Irvine express Christ? Oh, no, no, don't talk like that. That's too intangible. That's too in the air. That's too spiritual. Let's talk about something that's measurable, something that is, you know what I mean? Quantifiable, something that is visible. And I agree with you. I totally agree with you. We cannot just be all in the air. But do we pray that way? I mean, consider things that way? When you consider that way, you will start thinking, where are the saints? What's the level of growth in life? Are they really living Christ? Some of them come to the meetings, they're well-behaved, but at home with their spouses, they are like dogs and cats. Do you know what I'm saying, brothers? Where is the reality? We have these high talk, high things. But actually, our church is not expressing Christ so much. We have the best truths. But how much is the living reality seen? You see, brothers, this has to do with the testimony of the Lord. I hope we can, not relegate these things just to some kind of, just for the spiritual people. Okay. The universally great Christ needs a body to be his fullness, his expression. The purpose of the believers being members of one another in the body of Christ is that we would live Christ and express him together. That's what we are doing in the localities. Living Christ and express him together as a group, as a corporate testimony. Not everyone will see this. And not everyone out there, will appreciate this. But our display, our testimony is not just before man, but before the angels, to the whole universe. But there are those who are seeking, who have an eye and a heart. They will touch this and they will be convinced. Otherwise, we have words and pages, but we don't have a life that convinces them. D, let's read. The work of the cross consummates with the body and ushers us in the body. You see? Practical again. How do we experience the body? One factor that leads us or ushers us into such experience is the cross. The cross. Number one, the cross leads us to the body and operates in the sphere of the body. If you don't want the body life, you don't care. Let me tell you, you don't need the cross. Am I right? You don't need the cross. You just do whatever you want as a Christian. But if you really mean business to have the cross, to have the body, goodness, the cross is everywhere. That's why there are certain people, they got drawn by the ministry, by the truth, by the things. They come among us, and after a while, they could not stay. They cannot stay. You know why? Not because the truth is, it's because they couldn't pay the price. The body life requires your soul life. That's the bottom line. The genuine body life, church life, demands the sacrifice of yourself, the giving up of yourself. And I don't want to say this to, you know, to depress everyone and this kind of thing. It is a fact. In fact, here it says the cross actually operates in the sphere of the body. In other words, the cross is for the body. The cross is not for your spirituality. I used to belong what I call the Madame Guyon fan club. I am a card-carrying member when I was younger. I'm not joking. You know Madame Guyon, Mrs. Guyon, very famous inner life sister. We owe much to her, really, even the recovery in these inner life matters. So I was pursuing that. To experience the cross, to die to the self, to, you know, all these kind of so-called mystics, and which is what Brother Lee Nee was very much into, the inner life matters. But after a while, there's like, it's like, what is this for? And if you're not careful, all this spiritual things would replace the worldly attainments, substitute the worldly attainment, and yet not for God's purpose. And I was pursuing this kind of spirituality as the end. Do you know what I mean? As my goal, to be a spiritual brother, to be a whatever, godly. That's not the end, not the goal, not the objective. And one day I was free from that after some time, liberated from that, to realize, no, that means nothing to be the Madame Guyon of the 21st century or whatever. The Lord doesn't need more Madame Guyons. That's in the early 18th century or late 17th century. But today, we are shown God's need is for a body. And so everything, including the cross's experience, becomes subservient to this vision and operates for the fulfillment of that vision. So why do we pursue Christ? For the body. Why do we get crossed out? For the body. Why do we die to self, Jacob? For the body. Everything is for the body. Okay, the cross leads us to the... Okay, two. The self is the enemy of the body. Only when our self has been utterly dealt with by the cross are we able to touch the life of the body and come to know the body. Every experience... Brother will tell you this, or sister. The cross is always there. Every corner you turn, you face the cross again. You run into the cross again. Because the cross is the way of termination, and the cross is the gateway to resurrection, the sphere in which the body is built. We need to die, brothers. You know what is a good elder? A dead one. Or a dying one. Elders that are so lively in themselves and do this and do that. It's good. We appreciate that. Oh, the cross, brothers. We need to take the lead among the saints to experience the cross of Christ. We, the elders, the leading brothers. All right. Okay, E, please read. In the body only Christ is the head. So another principle, and that is the headship of Christ. For Christ to be the head means that only he has the authority in the body. Whatever we think, feel, or do must be under the authority of the head. There's a lot of plenteous speaking, you know, in the ministry in all these years about this matter. Submitting to and taking Christ as our unique head in everything. Okay, F, please read. We should always consider the body, care for the body, honor the body, and do what is best for the body. So this has become quite a wonderful slogan among us. Think about the body, brothers. When you're locally making a decision, seems it's just a local thing, consider the body. Care for the body. You know, this word care I have the sensation of cherishing, you know. If you care for something, you're very tender with it. You don't roughly handle it roughly. You handle with care. Do we care for the body in this way? Honor the body. The body is to be honored. The body has a certain decisions. The body has certain needs universally. Do we honor that? And do what is best for the body. Even, shall I say, at the cost of something in your locality. For sure something in your personal life. Are you and I ready to make that sacrifice to do what is best for the body of Christ? One, whenever we do something, we must have a proper consideration for the body and care for how the body would feel about what we're doing. Two, we should be concerned not for our individual profit, but for the body and the building up of the body. There are many, many examples. You may say, this is just a local matter. It's just affecting us here. Before you know it, it's affecting and sometimes infecting the whole body by our carelessness in these things. So we're not just a local church. We're all part of the body of Christ. Right? Okay. All right. Okay, two. Let's read. We need to have a complete, thorough knowledge concerning the fellowship of the body. Now we make a turn to knowing the fellowship. A big point. The body of Christ is uniquely one universally, and the fellowship of the body of Christ is also uniquely one universally. B, the divine fellowship is the reality of living in the body of Christ. The body, in a practical way, is the fellowship. Okay? I better read that even for myself again. The divine fellowship is the reality of living in the body. So if you are cut off from the fellowship or out of the fellowship, really speaking, at that moment, you're not in the, you do not have the reality of living in the body. You may be even sitting here. You're sitting right there. But something is wrong inside. For some reason, some fellowship is cut off from certain brothers, from the body. You're not right with the body. And so the thing is not flowing. The spirit is not flowing. At that moment, physically you're here. But in reality, you're outside of the living of the body. You're not. The body, in a practical way, is in the fellowship. So, brothers, we need to stay in this fellowship all the time. And everything that frustrates this fellowship, or all the insulation, all the offenses, how about all the problems between members, surely between us and the head, must be resolved as quickly as possible. So that that fellowship can continue unabated, continually, all the time. Fellowship, see, is the issue of the eternal life and is actually the flow of the eternal life within all the believers who have received and possess the divine life. So what is fellowship? Fellowship is the flow of this life. And we will see it in these next points. D, let's read. This fellowship is illustrated by the flow of the water of life in the New Jerusalem. There's a flow, right? We know when there's a flow. We know when there's no flow. E, let's read. This fellowship is carried on by the Spirit in our regenerated spirit. Hence, it is called the fellowship of the Holy Spirit and the fellowship of our spirit. See, young brothers, you need to study these things. 2 Corinthians 13:14, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Whereas in Philippians 2:1, fellowship of spirit. So that means this fellowship is carried on by the Spirit in our regenerated spirit. That's the place where fellowship is found. Brothers, we need to turn from our mind to the Spirit. We need to turn away from everything to our mingled spirit. The elders, you know who are the elders? The elders should be the ones who have the quickest reflex to turn from the mind to the spirit. If there's one thing you need to take the lead, you need to take the lead in this. Sometimes the whole church turned, the elders haven't turned yet. Everyone turned except the elder. See the problem? See the problem? Everyone is ready to give up themselves except the elder. He loves to remain his own will. His mind, his will. Maybe even his emotions. Okay, F, let's read. The circulation of blood in our physical body is also a good picture of the fellowship, the flow of the divine life in the body of Christ. So I just read, you all know this analogy. Just as the health of our physical body depends on the circulation of our blood, so the health of the body of Christ depends on the fellowship of the Spirit. The fellowship of the body of Christ is simply the circulation, the current of the Spirit. The Spirit today is the blood in Christ's body. If Christ's body did not have the Spirit, it would be like a corpse. When this all-inclusive Spirit is circulating within the body of Christ, divinity, humanity, Christ's person, Christ's death, and Christ's resurrection all are circulating. Calling on the name of the Lord causes the Spirit to circulate within us, so that we enjoy all of Christ's riches. Well, all I can say is this, brothers. Stay in this circulation. The circulation may be within just us leading brothers. The circulation is within our church in a locality. There's a flow. And there's another circulation. Not another. There's a greater circulation. That is circulation in the whole body, worldwide, globally. Universally, stay in that fellowship. Unfortunately, there are churches who, for this or that reason, have kept themselves from that fellowship. And it became even a culture of isolation, a culture of seclusion, away from that broad fellowship of the whole body. And that means the blood is not moving. That current is just kind of not moving. And when the current does not move well in your body, you start to have disease. Am I right? When the body is flowing well, you know, that's why we do massages. That's why we, you know, the Chinese have these, what do you call it, these pain points, acupuncture points. You know, all these things is to improve circulation. And circulation itself heals. It's not even medication. It's circulation. Your church, the hope of your church is circulation. If you would just let your church fall into this flow and go on in this universal flow, your church will be healthy without doing anything. I know in some church it is so walled up, you know, wall, you know, like a moat with crocodiles, you know what I mean? With only one bridge, it's permanently drawn, like in a siege situation, siege mentality. Actually, eventually the saints got built up in a life of siege, or in a life of isolation. They got used to it. And after a long time, they really think the only thing that exists in this universe is their church. They're the only church that exists. They don't know even other churches really exist. You know? Now, you say I'm exaggerating. Well, maybe a little bit. But I've seen this in principle. They really think they're the only church. Or at least they're the better one, you know. That is, you know what that is? That is ignorance. That is a frog in the well, you know? A frog in the well. You know, even today, we have something called globalization in economy. Even the world is globalized. And yet we, in the Lord's recovery, is still not globalized. Or maybe not globalized. Bodyized, how about? We're still in my local church. Well, praise the Lord for the local church. I really do. But the body, brothers, be in that universal circulation. I'm still sort of attached to the church in Irvine, right? Okay, so two Monday nights I go, I show up for the elders' meeting and no elder showed up. So I thought I was rejected, you know, or it was miscommunication. So this last Monday I was in town, thank the Lord everybody showed up. I felt a little better. And in the fellowship, various things were brought up, and in the end of the time, they brought up these recent burdens, you know, Europe, Germany, you know, the refugee, you know, all these things. And I was interested, my, how much have the saints in Irvine given to this? Now, so the Lord covers me. I was quite happy. I wasn't in the announcements. I don't know anything. Just the brother. They said, over $100,000 has been given for this. Just within the 2 weeks since the announcement, in Anaheim we made an announcement. You can get to the video. You should watch the video of some special meeting there. Well, I don't mean just the dollars. What I mean is it shows we're in that circulation. You know, we're not just taking care of ourselves. We're taking care of the Lord's move, the Lord's body. Isn't this beautiful? Isn't this lovely? I believe if we take care of the body, the Lord will take care of us through his body.
Amen.
In all our localities.
Amen.
May it be so, huh? More and more. Okay, G, please read.
The fellowship of the body of Christ is the fellowship of the apostles.
Amen. The divine fellowship between all the believers and the triune God. So this fellowship of the body is called the fellowship of the apostles. That is the divine fellowship between all the believers and the triune God. I'll just read. One, the fellowship of the apostles is based upon the apostles' teaching. The teaching is the element and the realm of the fellowship. Our fellowship is not wild. Our fellowship has a base. That base is in a certain teaching. And that is the apostolic teaching. So, brothers, young brothers, you need to study what is the apostles' teaching. You really need to know that. That gives us the base and even provides the element and the realm for us to have a proper fellowship. We cannot fellowship with those who reject this teaching. There's no fellowship between us with those who have a different teaching, different than the apostle teachings, which is the New Testament. Two, teaching is the unveiling of God's New Testament economy concerning Christ and the church. Fellowship is the communion and communication between the believers in their communion and communication with God the Father and Christ the Son. Kind of a mouthful here, but here there is a traffic, you know. The other word for fellowship is traffic, or communion, or communication. So it is that traffic between the believers in their traffic with God the Father and Christ the Son. Sometimes we call this the vertical fellowship and horizontal fellowship. I would like to not use either words, like horizontal is horizontal. Vertical is vertical. Horizontal is horizontal, like two axes. I rather see the whole thing as a cycle. Do you see what I'm saying? It's not two direction. It is a circular affair. So my fellowship is with the Father, right? And the Son. And that Father and Son also is in his fellowship with them. And then what? That flow would come to us. You see what I'm saying? Or the other way around. So like your whole body, there's no vertical and horizontal circulation. Your body has one circuitous, is that the word?
Circuitous
closed loop flow of blood. That is what we're talking about. And this includes God, this includes the Father, this includes the Son, and this includes us. And the fellowship itself, the flow itself, is the Spirit. All right. Okay, I better finish up here. All right. Where are we? Three. To be in the fellowship of the apostles is to put aside our private interests and join with the apostles and the triune God for the carrying out of God's purpose. I'm so happy, so incredibly encouraged by what the Lord has done in Northern California in this last year. Among many other things, brothers, I just see so many brothers really putting aside their private interests or even their local interests and join with the apostles and the triune God for the carrying out of God's purpose. This is not a small thing. I think this is what will invite the Lord's blessing. There's many, many glory years to look ahead to in Northern California. Amen, Jacob?
Amen.
Right?
It's a blessing.
I think we will see blessings we have not seen. And tell me the truth. In many instances, I think we all would testify. after many years of doing our own thing, we just run into a dead end. Try as we may, there's a dead end. You try very hard. You really did everything according to the book, everything. But what does it say in Haggai? You sow much, and you bring in little. And even what you have brought in, I blew upon it, like the holes in the bag. You see, that's not something that you can control. You can work hard, but you can control the results. So for the results to be there, we have to fulfill these principles. And I tell you, this is a grand, grand principle, brothers. And that is to put aside our private, personal, local interest, join with the Lord for his purpose here in Northern Cal. Okay, four, the fellowship of the apostles is the fellowship for the Lord's unique recovery, to recover Christ as everything to us, to recover the oneness of the body of Christ, and to recover the functioning of all the members of the body of Christ. These are the 3 points of the Lord's recovery. This is what the fellowship is for. Okay, H, please read. There is the need today for fellowship among the churches. This fellowship is to keep the universal oneness of the body of Christ. So today, let there be more and more churches, fellowship of the churches. I think here, again, I think I said this last weekend, we're like, you know, the Ark is here in the Bay Area, right? We have tribes over here, we have tribes over there, we have tribes over here, we have tribes over here. All one army, a single army, but assigned to different geographic parts in that place. And so there should be one fellowship of all the churches in Northern California, which fellowship is global. We're in fellowship with the whole globe. But in the sub-districts or the sub-regions of Northern Cal, which is a huge place, there are also the clustering, the three tribes here, three tribes there, amongst the churches in a more frequent basis, like South Bay, am I right? Like North Bay, like the Sacramento, whatever, Valley, and then the Central Valley, or East Bay, right? All these things, there should be more talking between the churches. There should be more fellowship between the churches. There would be more, should be more blending amongst these churches. This is right. So that this would become culture to us. We have next month we'll get into that. Okay. The trouble in the churches today is due to the shortage of the fellowship, the circulation of the blood. The lack of fellowship gives the enemy the opportunity to come in. You know, even on an individual basis, you're just scratching your head, you're pounding your head on the wall, no solution. But just 2 minutes of opening up to a brother, everything is solved. You have that experience? I have a lot of these experiences. The same thing applied corporately. You know, you're in your church, you just don't know, you're just a dead end. You don't know where to go next. You open to fellowship, suddenly solution comes. Suddenly the way is opened. There's hope. Okay, two, if any part of the body of Christ is separate, that part will eventually die. The best way to stay healthy is to receive more blood and to give more blood. Amen? Amen. I hope every church will receive more blood and also give more blood. So go to the Red Cross. Left hand giving blood, right hand taking blood. And have this vast circulation. Stay in the fellowship, the circulation of life. Three, the local churches are many in different localities. The body of Christ as the church, the unique universal church, is expressed through the local churches. That's the body in expression in a locality. The local churches are locally kept away from one another by their being in different localities, but they are not divided universally. Five, the local churches should fellowship with all the genuine local churches on the whole earth to keep the universal fellowship of the body of Christ. A, any local church that does not keep this universal fellowship of the body of Christ is divisive and becomes a local sect. B, a church is one that remains in the body. A sect is a group of believers who divide themselves from the body. That's cancer, right? That's cancerous. I would just say, in this matter of fellowship, brothers, all of us can do more, should be more aggressive. You just sit there and wait. Well, nobody comes to fellowship with me. I've been waiting for 10 years, you know. Nobody showed up. Well, that's not the way. The way is to go out and seek fellowship. Just like we need to go and visit sinners, we need to be aggressive to seek fellowship from other churches in the body. Okay? All right. Now we have 2 or 3 minutes. Again, some prayer. And then there'll be some announcements. Okay. Amen.